organización, el Honorable Director de Officer, especialmente en our minister, of public enterprises and the media which is present this morning. We will go to the apologies, if there are any.
Thank you, Secretary. The apologies that we'll see this morning, the one point that we think they are changing the chief is for.
On this agenda, I don't see any provision where it requires us to adopt the agenda, but I would request honorable members to look into the agenda. If there are any other issues which they feel should be included here, they can read them now. If none, then can I request for any person to adopt the agenda? Honorable Ranko? Seconded by Honorable Lienye. That is not our, it's not on our side because today is Wednesday, and normally Wednesday the minister attends cabinet meetings. So we'll start by requesting the minister to interact with our services committee and update us or keep us on the challenges facing the state-owned company. I will hand over to the minister. Honorable Rafael?
Thanks, let the meeting note that we're supposed to start at 9:30 and we're starting around about 10. And as you have actually indicated, that the minister is supposed to attend under our commitment. Obviously, he was scheduled to be with the committee for something like an hour. So now that our 15 minutes is gone, it's already limiting us to actually interact with the presentation by the minister. I think the issue of time is of utmost importance because there are a number of issues that we really want to raise with the minister.
Noted, Honorable Rafael, we'll see how do we manage the 15 minutes we have lost. Thank you. Can we go straight to the minister so that she brings the committee members?
Chair, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, colleagues. The acting AG and my official members of the media. In fact, I'm the old chair that today we were dealing with a strategic plan. So what I want to do is I want to give the hour and Sari from my office will run to the next meeting to tell them I'm running 15 minutes later, I think, so that we have the hour. So what I was going to do this morning is the strategic plan and of course our APP. And lead into that. If there are questions that members would like to ask, I'm very happy to answer it. I will just lead in, and the acting DG will make the presentation of all the issues around the state-owned company. And if I'm just seeing the agenda now, it says interaction with Minister of Public Enterprises on challenges facing state-owned company. So, if I were to talk, I'm guided by you, Chair. What would you like me to do first? Would you like me to do the strategic plan, the annual performance plan, or would you like me to talk about the challenges facing state-owned company?
Honourable Minister, I think because of time, we will. I think I'm expecting the committee would like you to take us through the challenges, and if you are pressed with time, the department can remain and take us through the strategic plans and the APP. That's my suggestion, honorable members, is it? Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Now, just in terms of the political and economic context that we find ourselves in terms of state-owned companies, we know that the economic outlook still shows that the South African economy has not fully recovered from the downturn experienced in 2008. There is an overwhelming consensus that the first 5 years of the NDP implementation will be characterized by weak global demand, which in turn erodes domestic private sector demand. This translates to a significant dependency
on stakeholder companies to lead and drive the implementation of the medium-term strategic framework, and that is from the period of 2014 to 2019. So the repositioning of SOPs is fundamental for the realization of the objective outline in the medium-term strategic framework. Stakeholder companies as key instruments of the developmental statement need the restructuring of South Africa's economy through effective provision of essential services. There is a serious opportunity for the DPE to play a leading role in the development of the South African economy. We're not there yet, but that is where we should be heading. The new strategy recognizes the challenges being faced by the SOC and provides a clear path to improve the performance of the portfolio. So the strategic plan is an outcome of the comprehensive research that has been undertaken into each one of the SOCs. And while we are here now, we have six SOCs in sustainable companies in this portfolio. We have Alex Gore, and I'm now just talking off the top of my head on it, but Alex Gore is the one that is based in Alexander Bay, and what it does, it mines alluvial diamonds. The problem with that score is that it is time specific and it is not taking out enough carats of diamond in a month. So it either has to diversify or the Alex score will have to move to the mining, state-owned mine company. Okay, I'm not trying to get rid of my problem, but we'll just to move to the state-owned mining company and diversify in the mining sector. So that the mining sector, within the geography of the Northern Cape, it could have all other sorts of mining, whether it's coal mining and so on. But that's not a decision that's been taken. That is a discussion that is happening at the moment, and will remain in DPE. Then we have Eskom, and I'm working backwards to, I know you all want to talk about Eskom, so I'm working backwards so that at least other sector companies get an opportunity to hear, to have an opportunity to be aired. So then there's the Eskom, and 50,000 families, it's mostly in the Mpumalanga area. And Kumasi Port into the Mozambique area. And there are some big business deals with Mozambique and some, but not too large. But 20,000 rural families, rely on SACOM. So it is trying to strengthen SACOM. And part of the strengthening of SACOM is to look at what needs to be done in depth. Because the rest of forestry sits in that. So, but at the moment, SACOM's not doing it poorly either. This is Transnet. Transnet and Zanel collectively are two state-owned companies who turned themselves around in the last 5 years. Part of what they've done is gotten rid of non-core assets, greater private sector intervention into, especially with the now, partnerships that were created. With Transnet, it was just getting the business plans for the company to work in the interest of our people. And Transnet is doing really well. I mean, the movement of manganese is very high. In fact, the Northern Cape, Saldana line is doing pretty good. We also aware that the locomotives are just gotten to 95 locomotives that have been built. It's interesting, we're in design mode to build from scratch our own locomotives. And we will really fail to Mozambique, Namibia, of locomotives. Now, the 95 has been in this year. The next would be the 1026 locomotives that will be completed. And then, of course, we have Inter Express. Inter Express will do very well if it has to work collectively with SAA. I'm not lobbying, but I'm not trying to get your support. It has to work with SAA. So, but it, you see, the financial model, the business model has changed. So that there's a clear definition of what which airline does. But they, for most of our airlines, if the express is regional, and its plane can only take it on a 4-hour journey. So 4 hours would be to Kenya. I think the third one is Kenya, actually. So its strength is in its mother body, and that is the area. And then we have ISCOM. Now, ISCOM, what I want to do here is to just give you a bit of a report back of the circumstances of the last couple of days, or last 2 weeks. Now, I've gone to ISCOM, and we've been in a war room meeting, and a couple of war room meetings before that, where the credibility of information around financial liquidity and sustainability, with issues around Medupi and Kusile, I mean, we're in billions of rands of overruns already. And some issues around load shedding. Now, I said to the staff and colleagues sitting there, that we're going to have load shedding for the next 2 years. I'm not in any way saying that there's not going to be load shedding. But load shedding is used so that we don't have a total blackout. There's never been a blackout or a outage. They use load shedding to balance the grid. When the grid is very tight, they load shed in particular areas and for particular times, a specific time, so that we don't have a total blackout. And in the world, we know that there have been blackouts, and it takes 2 weeks and more to try to get the country lit up again. So we really must avoid a total blackout. And what has happened, though, is that about 2 months ago, I appointed the board, and the board has virtually been out of the war room. They're not representing the board, not because of themselves, but because they've not been invited. If somebody's invited, then the execs come. So they've not been invited to the war. And I think the assumption is that the executives who are in the war room will be brought back to the board. I called off a meeting, and that was supposed to happen on the 26th of March. It was annually, and it also looks like I did it for some bizarre reason. But let me tell you what it was for. I was in the country at the time. But the corporate plan, knowing in the draft corporate plan, is there anything about the challenge we are facing around electricity? And they must present that corporate plan to me. And so I said to them, please don't have the board meeting, because they didn't approve the corporate plan in that board meeting. I said, please don't have the board meeting. And let me speak to you about the corporate plan. Because I really want the corporate plan to be real in as far as it presents a plan for ISOM into the next couple of years. Of course, it's annual, so it has to other reason that I stop board meetings, some nefarious reason that I say don't meet me in a dark hall or something like that, Honourable Member Eric. Anyway, so I stopped board meeting at that time. And then we had a war room meeting, and again we backed off the difficulties or the credibility of information. I then went to ESCOM because the executive, the board members also asked me for a meeting. So I had in the day, and then I, in the meeting, I said, and it's a Wednesday, I think Tuesday or Wednesday. And I sat in the meeting for about an hour and a half. And in that period, I told them, what all of you tell me all the time? ESCOM's not doing this, ESCOM's not doing that. What's happening around load shedding? Why are there such huge overruns? And I listed a whole list of all of these things. And I then said to the board, I really want a deep dive into the organization. I want to understand all of this. And I want to be able to communicate what is inside of ESCOM into the public space and have credible information, independent, credible information. I left the boardroom and I went home, and the board, the chair phoned me later the night to tell me that they decided to have an investigation and to suspend, because they want unfettered access to the information. They were asking for executives to step aside. Since then, I have been called to a board meeting. The board has called me to a meeting last Friday. And in the meeting, they addressed me on very pertinent issues. The three members of the board attended the meeting by telephone conference. And that includes the chair. And then the chair was asked to recuse himself, and I left the room at that point. The issue for me is that whatever the board does, it has to fix the problem that we have in ESCOM. And one of the first ways to start fixing the problem is to know what those problems are. And I want an independent investigation into what those problems are. So, you are going to ask me if the chair saw the chair of ESCOM. I've not been officially informed, and this is in terms of the memorandum of incorporation. The memorandum says that the board must tell the minister or the shareholder what they want to discuss in relation to an individual member. Then the minister must give permission for that discussion to happen. The board must make the resolution, and the resolution must be sent formally to the minister. And the minister then applies his or her mind and takes a decision. So that's where we are. So we're in that last phase. I have not been formally told by the board. Am I worried? I'm very worried. Because ESCOM is a strategic asset. All of our lives depend on it, the economy depends on it. And we all depend on ESCOM to A, keep the life of, but B, to drive the economy. And so it's in all our interest that ESCOM gets to be operational as quickly as possible. And that's what I am committed to do. I am hamstrung by a company's act that says that there should be no political interference and no interference in the running of boards. I am hamstrung by the memorandum of incorporation that says that as well. But I have asked my department, and I have spoken to the DG, acting DG, and to give me some legal opinion how far I can go in. Because I think we are all reliant on our
how we are able to manage ESCOM in the future. The good thing is that within this time, within one day of searching for 2 hours, but anyway, if you didn't have it, I had it at my house for 2 hours. Good for me. For 2 hours I had load shedding on Saturday. Within this period, we've not been able. We've also had incredible support from business, big business. And I think going forward, we just have to cement all of those relationships so that we are able to provide sustainable electricity in the future. Chair, I wonder if I should leave it there. And if there are any questions that I may be on with the questions. And then Mati, who's the acting DG, that she then presents the AP when I leave.
Thank you very much, Honourable Minister. Can we interact with the briefing by the Minister? I will start with Honourable Maren, and then Honourable Mazoni, Honourable Lienge, Honourable Marabella, Honourable Ranzo, Honourable Salam, the Ranzoni is Honourable in that order. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chief. Lovely, I think the Minister had a great prior for the 2 hours of nursing, she can still make a step. But, okay, Minister, just three quick things. So one is, can I ask a personal view, not what is the purposes, as far as the electricity is concerned? Do you think the public private partnership is a way to go in more independent supply of electricity throughout South Africa, number one. Number two is, and this is not interesting, I'll ask you the question. Previous CEO and the chief financial officer, to put it straight, according to me, jumped the ship because they know what was coming, because both of them are not there anymore. But we still pay about the minutes of both their sins to the CEO and I suppose the CEO as well. And in retrospect, you know, a large amount of money. What is the situation you said now with the next form, and what are we going to do in the future to prevent those payments to the people in very hard conditions and jumping ship and use it with what you said now in the situation in South Africa? Thank you.
Thank you, Chief, and morning, Minister. Very nice to have you in committee with us. Minister, can I ask you, you know that the GP started its testing phase. But we've heard enough about how the testing phase is going. Can you give us an update on that? And then also you've seen that Alstom has been removed from the Kusile project. Do we have a new estimated turn-on date for Kusile? And is Alstom going to be charged penalties for causing the bankruptcy that they've caused? Then also there was a very disturbing report in the Business Day today saying that changes in procurement procedures were possibly behind the suspension of board members. Can you just give us a bit of background, because this change in procurement issue has been coming up continuously for the last month, and it's very worrying to the South African public. Chair, and also you've heard about municipalities that have, ESCOM has actually stopped providing electricity to the municipalities due to the non-payment. Now, the non-payment is of course done by the municipality themselves, not by the actual residents. The residents are paying the municipality, and the municipality is simply not paying ESCOM. Minister, what are we doing in this situation? What is the fine line that we tread to make sure that ESCOM is paid but that the residents don't suffer unfairly? And then my last question, Chair. We know that we'll be load shedded for 2 years, and I appreciate the Minister's honesty about what the situation is. But how close have we actually come, and how close will we come to a complete national blackout? And what do we do in a situation that we have a complete national blackout?
Thank you, Sir President. Let me first appreciate the declaration by the Minister with regards to the challenges that are facing the said entities. But furthermore, I would want to get an understanding from the Honourable Minister with regards to the looks at in the near future, questions that the department can employ and assist ESCOM in order to rise to the occasion. Is it possible that it can happen without the cooperation of the municipalities, government departments, and other institutions who are owing ESCOM huge amounts of money? And what is it the department can do in order to ensure that ESCOM is not owed to this extent? And secondly, the relationships between the board members at ESCOM. What is the method that the minister will employ to ensure that there is promotion of gentlemanly and professional relationships within the board members? Lastly, the Medupi and Kusile projects. Is there any financial disabilities that might hamper the completion of these projects in order that they assist in the provision of all the credit that is needed by the communities? Thank you.
Thanks, thanks to the Minister of the presentation. The first question that I would like the Minister to respond to, it is in connection with the war room, which was initiated late last year and introduced in February, in assisting the challenges that are currently facing the ESCOM, because I think the whole intention of even the war room was to make sure that we avoid, or the government avoids, or ESCOM avoids developments that are going to be taking place so that the company itself can be given a proper partnership with the deputy president in the helm of the team itself. How far is the progress up to so far in terms of so far as the issue of the world is actually concerned, to deal with the challenges that were really confronted. Secondly, obviously some of the issues in terms of the response that we're getting, as you have also alluded to that from the read through the newspapers, even though you may just still lose some of the information you have been to resolve that you let it clean from the campaign itself. But I think some of the issues that have been related in the newspapers are really worrying. One, I would say that I believe that the board in the managers are going to handle the issues, really scandalizing the black management itself. The managers handle the issue itself as if there's no actual potential in all of that. Then, and my understanding is that the core of everything is all the issue about the strength of power and getting business and all of that, tenders and all of those things. And nothing else about the stability of the ESCOM itself so that it can be able to live up to its mandate of stabilizing the current challenge that we're actually faced with. Then, Minister, the issue of the tariffs is one of the important issues that we need to look into. You know, there are people that are trying by, that's my own observation, by all means who see ESCOM being privatized and all of that. And I think it will be in the interest of the very same people that whom you are saying that you are very committed to the quality service on them and all of that. Because at the end of the day, are the ones that are going to be affected negatively given the current the socio-economic conditions where majority of our countries are at a high level of unemployment and all of that. The increase of tariffs is one of the major concerns that we really want to register to say that it's something that we need really to look into. And what is your view about it? How is it going to actually affect our people? How can we avoid it such that we protect our people from paying high tariffs in terms of electricity? Because all of these mandates that I think has completely are suggesting that the government itself is unable to make sure that it's able to give proper direction to the state-owned companies with the current development that are taking shape. And I think it's something that is not really desirable on our side. It's something that the government must take it very much seriously. And thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the Minister for the presentation. Chair, what I would want to know, as the Minister says that she is unfirm because of the shareholder combat or the age itself does not give her much power to do anything, if the board takes a decision and even if that decision is in a way that decision destroys the whole country, does that mean the minister can't do anything to intervene within the board's decision and maybe guide the board on which way to take because of the act that is there? And also, I mean, the sometimes we've been looking at this for quite some time, for the past term and this term. Is there nothing that can be done to correct this? Also, I would want to know what is the impact of the small power stations to the bigger power stations? Are they helping in lowering the load from the main power station or from the bigger power station, so that the smaller power station to be able to also get the grid of the bigger station not to be under pressure and for us to not to have this load shedding in between, because the companies and the economy of the country is going down a little bit because of the load shedding, as is said by those big companies and the people of the economic structure. What I would also want to know to the minister, we have built these power stations that were not there. As we are building the power stations that we have, we use materials, some of the materials that are coming from outside, which I am not sure, minister, if they are quality assurance in those materials that we are using, because I think if we use a material from coming a country from the northern hemisphere, what they are using there for them to have a power station might not be good for us in South Africa to use because of the weather conditions that might be different from one country to the other. The quality assurance of the material that we're using. So, but we do not build a grid, and in 6 years to come, that grid collapse or will collapse because of the quality of material that we are using. And also, Minister, there is something that is called cooperative government. Do you think in Eskom, as an entity, do we have cooperative government in Eskom, or do we need to relook or retrain the board of Eskom as to how cooperative government is done? Thank you, sir.
The last one is, we have Honorable Teddy, but before that, Honorable Sandam.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you for bringing yourself, Minister. I think other ESCOM, there's also a lot of other public enterprises that are limping along. My question is about SAX. We were briefed a month ago by AG's office and told that SAX has not tabled the annual reports, they have not signed the compact with the shareholder, they've had qualified audit reports for the past 2 years. So my question is, as a shareholder, what are you doing to fix the situation? Is the situation here right now, we're completely in the dark about what is going on with SAX? So you also mentioned that SAX's strength lies with its being with its mother body. Are you therefore suggesting that, like SAA, SAX must move to national vision? Thank you.
Chapter 2 issues. One relates to all the entities that report to the department. Do what mechanisms do we have a minister to ensure that all the entities are functionally stable going forward? Secondly, we think we have enough mechanisms, consequences, mechanisms to deal with entities that are not performing in terms of the shareholder contact as agreed upon with the department as such. Last thing is the one that talks to ESCOM. The reason why quite a number of questions are centering around ESCOM is that the situation at ESCOM is very well known. And I keep on asking myself, one thing, I think one of the members raised this already, with regards to the suspension of the executives, just to check if indeed proper procedures were followed in the suspension of the executives. And lastly, our problem is that the solution to the challenges that has come in shape for now, including the now the issue of the chairperson of the board. Do we have convinced that will be the solution to the challenges that the community faces? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any other questions? Do you allow the minister to respond to the question?
That would be my lobbying, but strong. Very surprised and very strong. Now, that's the regional airline. So, a regional airline is the backbone. The backbone is the national and international airline. And given the fact that we're a long haul nation, I'm very delighted that I'm going to an AGM. I thought I'd start with good news, but even though you asked the question quite a lot, we're going to an AGM on the 27th, which means that the financial statements are in, that they've adhered to all their corporate and financial governance issues. And it's taken a couple of months to get them there. But one of the issues about the financial statements is the fact that if you don't, they have your guarantee. Now all of these state-owned companies, especially SAA and SAA, they operate, well, not only them, but also many of them, they operate on a guarantee. And until they get a guarantee, they will not be able to submit any financial statements. So we're going to a board meeting because they've complied with all the legal issues that they have to comply with. It was a struggle, and I really must thank the department for having gotten them over that hurdle. I'm hoping that in moving forward that we actually, in fact, we have a plan for SAA Express in the short term. and that is to increase their roots within the region. But there is a problem. Their aircraft are also very old. So if any of you have gotten stuck in the last while, and they've really cost contained, 1 hour 14 minutes you get stuck in peanuts. And I'm very pleased with it. So putting a sandwich when you go under 2 hours anyway. But look, the other issue is, and I want to maybe correct this thing. I am responsible as a shareholder representative, and this is to honourable member Ransom, for the company. The issue is that I shouldn't be interfering, politically interfering, managerially interfering, operationally interfering in the Karanino company. But of course, when things go wrong, I mean, just the fact that you ask me the questions and you're not asking anyone in this song, I do have oversight responsibility. So how I get involved is quite another question. I can't, for example, say, please bring me all your books so that I can check balance. I can't say, why have you appointed so-and-so and not appointed so-and-so? And that brings me to the issue of again, let me just say, load shedding will happen for the next 3 years. It's lots of engagement with big business, so that we do it minimally and in a prescribed time, and possibly over weekends only, and that it's only for the 2 hours, that it's fixed, that it's consistent, that it happens when it's happening. Because we have to do this to avoid what the Honourable Mandoni's advice is. Our coast will become to a complete national blackout. If we don't do that, we will have a blackout. But we've not come close to a national blackout. I've received many WhatsApp messages about how we should go and get up tuna and so forth, because we're going to have a blackout quite soon. There is also a national disaster management team that has, and they do it annually, they simulate what would happen in a national disaster, like a blackout. But I'm told by ESCOM that that is quite an important part of what we do, so that's why we load-shed. Let me just quickly go back. My sister just reminded me that Cabinet Mahotla has actually asked us to have an overarching legislation for state-owned companies and how to run state-owned companies. And I've actually forgotten that. So that's a strength for them, but also a strength in the relationship that we have within state-owned companies. Public-private partnerships. You know, I'm a big adherent of public-private partnerships. In fact, I started public-private partnerships first in the Western Cape at the hospital. So I have no political or ideological opposition to public-private partnerships. But I have to say that for most of what happens within state-owned companies, the role of the private sector is very, very important and quite big. And it's not just in the renewable IPP. It's also in purchasing coal, in the purchasing of diesel, in all of the huge procurement areas. So I also see that, and no, but I don't see, in the 5-point plan in the war room, they talk to coal, which is also private sector. They talk to coal IPPs, which are also kind of private sector gas. And to bring gas in from the gas-enriched countries around South Africa. I didn't really get the issue about the issue about the CE and the CFO and the large sum of money when people leave. But maybe it's before my time. out of them. I said, that's before my time. Can you just, hello, okay. But you know, the issue is that the honorable member who asked, can they be gentlemanly relationships? Actually, on the board, we have people with few who have been chair people of the institutes of directors, who have run large institutions and overseen large departments like Axel Bank. There are engineers on the board. There are just a number of people who have skills that, and they are quite mature people. So getting a and if on a board of 30, 12 work together and one doesn't, don't you go with the majority? Don't you support the majority? Because that means 12 of them are working together. So they are real. But also, it's a new board. So you really have to build relationships between board members over time. But I've actually been quite impressed with the board. I think that some of the issues have struck us too quickly. And but generally, I think the board will see us through. I think if they are, as we were reading in the newspapers and so on, getting rid of the chair, I mean, I saw that decision is still a decision that needs to be taken. I'm not sure if they've resolved on it yet. Testing, I thought that the Dupi will, the 800 megawatts will come online in June, July. Elsom, the charges, this has been an ongoing battle. And this is part of the issue that I want to deal with in ESCOM. Because you see, sometimes people don't pay, or they don't do something. But there are no consequences for them. And that's part of the problem. And so it's one of the issues that I'm looking into the pot. Just as an example of what should be happening. Because if Honorable Ranko is right, and she says that all the quality assured, the part, there must be. You can't put into any plant something that's not quality assured. Now, I don't know. If you know anything, please let me know. But it's quite important. The procurement and the tender issues, we've actually asked the board to tell us what are the big procurement areas in the next couple of months. Because we are often told that this is the problem, that why people have to leave or so. So again, it's not something that we have absolute information on because we don't run the company. If you have, say that's fine. Oh, the municipality, this is just a huge problem. In fact, as we're speaking, Solvay has convened in Gauteng a meeting to deal with this issue. And part of it is systemic, because some of these municipalities actually they're not sufficiently viable. And so they use what money they collect from the clients, they use that money in operational issues and operating the municipalities. But there's a committee that's been established to look at it. But income can't any longer hold back. Because they are saying that the 4 billion rand that is owed to them, and I'm still using an old figure, it might have increased. The 4 billion rand that is owed to them is what they actually need. Because that brings me to your question, the member from the EFF. It is the price, the tariff price. Now, it's not a decision of ESCOM.
It's a decision of NASA, the regulatory body. And we've seen in the past that even though ESCOM, for example, before you and my time in this government and in this assembly, they applied for 16% and then they only got 8% increase. So the application for 35% is an application that the war room and the figure that the war room has come up with. But we've got to get to cost-effective tariffs. But I agree with you that it can't be that actually the cost-effective tariffs will allow ESCOM in liquidity and growing, keeping the lights on and making sure that we have electricity to grow an economy and so forth. But we also know that we can't do so at the expense of a largely unequal society, exceptional pockets of poverty within our country, and with such high numbers of unemployed people. And the indigent policies and the sliding scale of electricity payments doesn't help them because they still have to pay money. So, in answering both your and Ms. Manzoni's question, we're not close to resolving this problem. And previously, for example, and I've used this example before, if you switch off the light in laziness, you switch off the light on a huge company called Nestle, and which cut off jobs and all of that. So there's a lot of pressure on it. I mean, I actually put pressure on ESCOM around the laziness issue because I didn't want Nestle to move content. So I put pressure on ESCOM to not switch off electricity in laziness. And I made ESCOM carry that burden for a long time, a longer period. But there has to be a different way to do it. And these committees are not producing results, unfortunately, just because the problem is so systemic. So I'm raising the problem and telling you that it is a problem. So this is a huge, huge problem that we have. Well, the warm is actually very good for us because it's pulled up all together in a room. We have common information. We save the water area where water is an issue. We have Minister Mokoyana there and we can talk through those issues and make sure that we unlock the blockages that we've had. But if the problem in ESCOM, I remember ESCOM was built in 1922, and nothing's changed in the structure. 48,000 people working in ESCOM. So it's quite an old organization that what I was hoping for, that we would have this investigation, that puts us onto a path over a couple of years to try and change the way ESCOM operates. But right, it's not something that we can change overnight. So in some respects, I think the problems that exist at ESCOM are problems that existed before, and I won't be there anymore for the problems that exist going forward. The issue, though, is that if we can now capture those problems, we could put it onto a path that actually gives us sustainable electricity into the future. Also, the difference with science is that there are new energy mix. There are new forms of energy. There's the renewable energy, there are the coal IPPs, there will be gas coming in, and we, you know, so all of that will give us a better kind of place for ESCOM. And I've always said this, when we know what
the end state of energy is, we must then, within that end state, look at what role is from us to play. At this stage, it provides 42% of household and business electricity to 42% of the overall population. But it's a 95% reduced electricity for the whole country. And we've got to build in a stronger private sector arm, and we've got to build in a stronger sector where people can actually get off the grid. And at the moment, there's actually a whole town that's off the grid already. So, and they have different and alternative energy that they are using. But the problem, of course, with renewables is that it doesn't pay for it. So that's why coal-fired electricity is called the dominant player. But if we can move, and this is the other issue that was in my pot for what needed to be looked at, is why we've not moved faster, given the fact that we have coal, gas-rich countries around us. Why we not move from diesel to gas? Because diesel is exceptionally expensive. And it's only in these two, in this province where we have diesel, in Korigwa in Mahoban, and Ankara in Atlanta. It's not really a struggle of power in the board. I mean, sometimes I read the newspaper and I don't actually understand what the issues are that they're saying there. But, I mean, and I think part of it is that the board largely is united. The fact that the board is making a decision around a chair doesn't mean the board isn't united. The board could be united in wanting to get the chair out, or the CFO out, or somebody else out. It's not, it's largely united. It's too young for the board to be factionalized. And it's not factionalized. I mean, that's my sense of the board where I'm sitting. And the small power stations out the larger power stations, I think Honorable Russell, when this thing comes, it's a very operational question. I'm sure you can ask them that. We've had load shedding largely up to stage two, which is twice a day for 2 hours. But we've really gone over to stage three, although we have gone to stage three, which is 3 2-hour shifts. But the point I'm making is that there will be load shedding. It might not be as regular as we had in December and at the beginning of the year. I'm not sure if there's anything else that I have left out. I'm told by 2020, 10,000 megawatts of electricity will be on the grid, and that will really help take us forward. That will be both Kusile and Medupi. I just need to say that by June, July, it will be 800 megawatts of Medupi, and then of course Wind Serra also brings another 100 megawatts. That is the same in Matihama municipality. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. Do you have follow-up questions? Honorable Mazzoni?
I agree very much with the Minister, which says that things are going to improve because we're going to have renewables and other forms of electricity come on. And Minister, this is what this concerns me greatly. In two State of the Nation addresses, the President spoke about the ExxonMobil coming to Parliament. And if we want independent power producers to really add capacity onto our grid, and if we really want to be serious about other energy producers adding on, that bill must serve before Parliament. And Minister, as you know, the bill has now been removed. Are you and Minister of Energy Jonas Peterson in talks about having this law reintroduced to Parliament, because if that law doesn't come through, we're not going to have the solution that you so rightly indicate as the answer to our problem. Well, one of the answers to our problem.
Honourable Minister, I think the impression must never be created by the Minister to see that the problems of Eskom problems that they have actually inherited. That is, they must be old enough to take responsibility, because the ruling party in 1998, they were very much clear about what needs to happen and making sure that they stop the building of new power stations and all of that. That's why today we are actually finding ourselves in the very same crisis that we actually find ourselves in. And we still wish to see the iterations that you really come up with, because I know that the impression of that the 24th of December will be up, and I mean, since we can actually go here, we still need to see all of those interventions actually be made. Secondly, obviously, the minister will want to project that they said, you need to defend the border and all of that, but strong conviction that there are serious problems that are happening. This is my opinion, because of what is currently brewing in the very simple, the instability of the border fence. It is much to be desired. Also, when the new CEO is only 6 months in office, and already there are issues that are coming in this. Quite very shocking, Minister. Maybe you may want to protect the health of the structure that the board is united and all that. But the fans are showing something different than the actually in party past. And I think you need to really vote in that from a really forceful direction. We understand the limitations in terms of some of the legislation that the actual capacity to but I think everything else that has to be listed from company, the real come back to the very best of the minister to be decided with some of the issues. So as long as we are willing to be decided, I'm only for the fix and factor number. I think we're still in the moment to
thank you very much. Oh, there's another question.
We do work, I work quite something that the MECs of finance, the MECs of local government got to in the provinces, but it still hasn't produced results. The only result that it has produced is actually one that's favorable to them and that they want to cut their lives. So, I mean, we've got pushed into another year as far as I'm concerned. In fact, it's quite complex to see people in electricity deals. But Eskom has taken a very firm stand on this. I mean, the last board meeting, I believe, has taken that decision, that last happened. But it is something that's ongoing. What do you think I should do about the problems in Eskom? I know that I'm in the government, but I'm not skipping doing anything about it. I'm doing what I can do. Is there something more that you think I should be doing? Because I don't, not for a moment. In fact, I think I'm very, very strong about saying what the problems were and how we arrived at these problems. And it's enough of the government. It's the end of the government that is. So as a decision at the time, it could have been a right decision for them. It could be a life, I mean, even today when we're making decisions, our grandchildren in the future will then become ministers. They're not the people, we're not making the right decisions. There's no such that I want to skip a decision, or I don't want to be bold to say this, or I don't want to be bold to say that. I'm as bold as you are. You say that there is division. I say there isn't division. That's my boldness in comparison with your boldness. It's the same thing. It's opinion that we are having here. I can only have real, strong, empirical knowledge on something when I came in as a professional to go and tell me what it is that I'm dealing with. Now I'm a politician telling another politician what I feel about whether or not I'm accepting the problem or not accepting the problem. I accept. I have to do something about it. But if you have a good idea, I'm very happy to hear it. There is no bull at Nami taking off the bird. It's not good at taking off the bird. I still think it's shorter. It is right. I still think that the issue that I've raised before, and I'll let you know what the end state of energy is. We won't know what the form of Eskom should be. At the moment, Eskom is too vulnerable, and electricity supply is too vulnerable to break it up. So at this stage, I think it's not wrong for us not to have the reasonable. I think what we have, and I mean, lots of opinions on this, the IPCs that are coming online, is actually coming online, as far as I'm concerned, again, it's my opinion, a great risk to, and with Eskom carrying all the risk at the moment. And that, to me, is one of the strongest solution into the future for us bringing the reasonable back again, but into the future. For now, I think too long ago, we need to provide electricity supply and extensively for it to be sustainable into the future. That it's not, it is the right decision to have technical security.
Thank you very much. I think we have reached for this agreement because actually we have made a very important but before we do that, I think I'm representing the views of the members here in relation to the stability of the board itself and stability at the government. And Minister, I will appeal to you to really ensure that there is stability in that utility and we are worried that this strategic asset is heading this leadership programs. And we hope with the capability of your local department and yourself, you will be able to assist us to help that study in relation to leadership. And issues which are raised by members, the new board, now the ranges of friends, the shepherds, and the shepherds have been there for a long time. So it raises so many questions to us, and we are not able to get to the real bottom of the issues. And as this overnight board of families, we need to interact with yourself better to understand better so that we don't only oversight, but we come with proposals to the solutions to the utility. And we would like to take this opportunity to thank you very much, Honorable Minister, and you are raised.
Opening strategic documents and the APT also the presentation and also mine, being mindful of the time that we also spend in the minister. But in doing the presentation, I will kind of key aspects of the document so that I can give a little time also for committee members to be able to ask the questions in the detailed documentation. Maybe to contextualize this presentation, Chair, is to talk about the issues made before that have been the key events that impacted this portfolio in the last 12 months or so. And I think we don't need to hear that we are all aware now that the two sexual companies were transferred from the department to other government departments. And this transfer was really informed by the need to optimize government shareholding and to drive performance in those areas that have been lagging behind. We are aware now that the project in Falco has been transferred to the Department of Telecommunication and Postal Services, and the idea of this is also follows on the PRC review course on consolidation of state-owned entities according to their threats and their industrial impact. And also that transfer was made as strengthening what you call the South Africa Connected Broadband Strategy. And again, December 2014, Cabinet resolved to shift the oversight of SAH National Strategy from the department. And this really was also influenced by the fact that since the development of the long-term national strategy by SAH, there was really that major progress was made in terms of technical and operational performance, but the financial performance of the company was still very high. So the idea was to transfer the company to the oversight of the Minister of Finance so that he is able to direct the implementation of the SAE turnaround strategy in a way that will firstly see the company being rid of government guarantees that it can be able to settle on its own, but also to assist the company in engagement with the financial institutions to strengthen its position. The third issue, what we have achieved in our portfolio, is the issue that I think has been covered largely by the Minister around the development of the pathway set by Cabinet to try to address the current electricity challenges and also to try to accelerate the implementation of this plan to improve the electricity supply. The world was established, and I think so far we've seen positive developments in the sense that coordination between governments is becoming easier, decisions are implemented and made quicker because all the ministers are participating in the early studies being led by the deputy president. And we also saw the synchronization of the technical between, so that was another key event that impacted our portfolio in the last 12 months. And I think with regards to Dinero, Dinero continues to strengthen the order book, but also it continues to engage seriously in strategic equity partnerships at the initial level in order to ensure that they strengthen their balance sheet through public sector participation. And I think as we go through the presentation, we will share with the committee our rationale behind the PSP and how we can use it to strengthen state-owned companies, not only those that are still in the portfolio, but as a principle across governments. Dinero was also able to acquire a company that is involved in the space technology called Space Tech, and I think with that as well, this affirms the strategic role that we have identified for Dinero to play in critical manufacturing area related for the country, but also to make sure that we acquire back all these niche areas for the country. Because if we look at the environment in which Dinero operates, we all agree that it's a highly technologically driven environment, and that's where we want the state as well to play a certain role. So our new strategy chair and committee members is framed to support a number of reforms in terms of the SOEs and to ensure that government's role in the economy is optimized and development of South Africa as a developmental state. But also, it ensures that it strengthens the role of the department. I think in the daily engagement with the Minister of Questions that members ask around the role of the department and how we strengthen the shareholder function to make sure that we give direction to the state or companies. So our strategy is aimed at doing that and also believing that we always can say that it's better forever evolving, and therefore we need to be able to place the key focus on the environment within which state-owned companies operate to be agile enough to change those environments, but also to be able to give predictability to those who are doing business with the state-owned companies. I think it is to start with the presentation, Chair. The idea of South Africa as a developmental state is still an issue that is being debated. But I think in principle it has been agreed that we are a developing state. And therefore, for us to grow our economy, we must take focus on the three key drivers of growth, specifically looking at investment in the economy, and placing emphasis on infrastructure development. And I think the earlier discussion as well with the Minister on issues of underinvestment saying to us, if we need to grow, we need then to be able to put investment in infrastructure as a key area of focus. But also, how do we ensure that we have the economy growing at a stable rate? And we can do so if we ensure that the growth is aimed at reducing unemployment, and also make sure that we maintain a high aggregate growth, because again, the growth level has been projected by the government, we can see that we are not going to achieve those growth levels, and the top finance has already alluded to concerns that we need to have budget. The last thing that we think we need to do is the positive trade balance. So South Africa needs to ensure that a trade surplus is achieved through driving key exports and commodities. And I think that's where you see the role of entities such as investment becoming critical. This slide, Chair, we just wanted to use this to indicate that in every economy, the four areas that we need to measure for the success of the economy to grow. Firstly, look at your economic GDP growth, and then ensure that there's constant watch on what is happening in that area. Now, if you look at the South Africa, the aim is to build a strong economy. We can all agree that we have a weak economic growth. And therefore, to make sure that we change that trend, we need then to ensure that there's investment in key areas. And to invest in key areas, we need to look at our capital formation. And for us as a department, one of the ratios we have made is that the capital formation has not been the priority leading up to 2008. And you can see that between the year of 1990 and 2000, there was a serious sharp dip in terms of our performance. So this has a negative impact on local industries, affecting our skills and reducing the manufacturing capability. So we need to change this trend. And for us then to be able to change this trend is that we need to identify areas where the economy needs to grow. And as we've already indicated, we need to ensure that there is a positive trade balance for the economy. So, as a developmental case, a decision has been taken to ensure that we place state-owned companies at the forefront of infrastructure development, but also in assisting small businesses to engage in mainstream economy. But how are we going to do this? We begin as state-owned companies to assess to our economy. And this is important because you cannot have a situation whereby there's hidden value from private sector investment. So we believe that we need a complementary relationship between the private sector and the public sector, and our role is to ensure that the SOCs stay into the space. Firstly, SOCs must be able to implement national policies in order to drive infrastructure. other policies. For example, if you look at energy supply, the role of ESCOM, transport, the role of the Transnet and South African Express, but also you look at other balances such as water, sewage and special planning, because you cannot move state owned companies from those balanced infrastructure development. So they achieve a good collaboration and supporting other government departments. But also, it is critical that state owned companies build technology. Because one of the issues that we've realized is in the early 1990s or even prior 1994, state owned companies were at the forefront of creating technology of developing skills. But with the decision of taking that the some of these entities would be privatized, we saw a gradual withdrawal of state owned companies from those activities where they can contribute to technology base and as well as participation in ensuring local skills. So we believe therefore that again as part of changing the trends, we need to make sure that they participate in that, and as I indicated earlier on, the area is last week where we bring innovation to a technology area in terms of partnerships with your DSIR as well as the Department of Science and Technology. The advantage of doing that is that you begin to drive competitiveness of the country, not only of the SOC, and then you are beginning to place the country on local and global scale in terms of economic performance. Lastly, we believe that SOCs are required to do the project and take the interest and social responsibility. This is one issue that is challenging the economy. If you look at stable companies such as South African Express as well as ESCOM, they are currently challenged in terms of their bottom line, their financial and operational performance. So the question is, how do you balance the need for them to create jobs as well as to make sure that they are not broken entities? So it's another area that I think the strategy we really need in terms of, in so much as we want those companies to be good employers, but we also need to balance their sustainability and their operational efficiency. This slide is just to indicate again the whole issue of underinvestment and the issue has been really brought up a number of times. The slide on our left shows that the period between 1990 and 2000, when there was the major decisions made in terms of state owned companies not investing, because the idea was that we're going to be introducing private sector into transport around the issues of rail as well as the energy. Consequently, that led to the cash flow during that period for state owned companies not being able to manage capital investment in the country. Some of the state owned companies, we saw them going outside the country, such as ESCOM, they decided to invest in the region, and some state owned companies decided to form partnerships again with the other African countries because they could not invest in South Africa. But also what that did is that it created a situation where a decision was made that now also is not invest, and it created a funding gap for the state owned companies because at the point some of them did not be able to match the requirements of those infrastructure investments. So with the funding gap existing, it meant that the SOCs, the use of pillars of other investments alongside the growing demand as well as the inefficient capacity deployment, meant that the SOCs had to rely now on government for support. And I think in our slide we'll talk about the unintended consequences of this action or this decision in terms of the funding gap for the own companies. Because one of those unintended consequences is the whole issue of tariffs that now needs to be considered as another means to close this gap. But the question is whether the general public and the poor and the vulnerable will be able to achieve or at least even meet requirements in terms of that, and whether the government will be able to step in to make sure it's pushing development of those citizens. So, what is it that you think the shareholder should be done? And I think in the Indian Parliament, well, this question was asked to the minister. What is it that the minister is doing to make sure that the state-owned companies are present? Our view is that the shareholder is really playing a role in the area because the financial of the department, and you can even plug any other government department in our view. In this line, and I believe that for us as a shareholder department, we've got three areas where we must play a critical role. Firstly, is to make sure that there's alignment with other spheres of government. How to make sure that that alignment, because when I said the top of this thing, I would say to the cabinet, which is the responsible for making decisions, that must then filter down to other government departments. And in the middle day, we need to share all that in the rest law. We think the other government departments, they play different roles. They play a role of a policymaker, a role of a funder, and a role of a regulator. And in the middle, as the departments, we have to make sure that when policies are introduced by other government departments, we ensure that we align them with, firstly, our objectives and mandates of the department, and secondly, with the mandate of the state of government. Then the second task that we see for a shareholder is one collaboration. Collaboration simply between state-owned companies themselves, those that are associated with the portfolio, and those that are outside the portfolio. And this collaboration we believe that it should be aimed at delivering synergies with other government departments. And secondly, to intercede and mediate on behalf of state-owned companies in respect of policy makers and regulators. There are times where a policy will be developed or mooted in respect of a state-owned company. For example, if you do the expansion, there is a discussion around the implementation of the National Sports Act, which says you need to expand the National Sports Authority out of expansion. But really looking at the implementation of that act as a policy decision, it goes without saying that there's massive adverse implications to Transnet. So our goal as a department is therefore to step in and mediate on behalf of Transnet in a way that we engage the policy department, in this case the Department of Transport, to make sure that so much as the SOC must implement government policy, but the policy cannot be implemented in a manner that would have adverse impacts to the broader economy, not only to the SOC. And the last task that we see for ourselves, the shareholder department, is that of oversight across the entire portfolio of the state-owned company. And this means managing and monitoring performance of state-owned companies, and in a manner that it's not really managing or to comply with regulatory principles, but to make sure that there is impact in terms of the activities of the state-owned companies. The SOCs are not similar to the department, are not really self-deliver-facing entities, but we believe that they have a role. So in monitoring their performance, there must be an objective towards the bigger objectives of supporting the developmental state. Then we believe that we need to translate national policy and its objectives to a level whereby we are comfortable that we can develop a process that allows us to ensure that there's upward mobility for the local companies in terms of their role, but also to conduct the community that they need. Thank you. coming to the NDP from the SCSF, we set a long-term path for the country and set ambitious targets of where we want to see ourselves in 2030. So what we do as NDP is taking the NDP and we're voting it down in terms of the NDP and areas that are related to the environment. But because the environment is at a layer of no specific place in the environment department, we will implement the NDP through this SOC here. So the relationship between the NDP objective and the SOC would be critical in terms of the department being able to achieve its mandate. But at the same time, we have to be mindful of the fact that there's also a relationship, an indirect relationship between other government departments and our state-owned companies. And therefore, the whole issue of collaboration between the department and these other government departments, it is important there so that these entities at the bottom, they implement policies developed by the department, and then those policies fit into what the MTS accepts as objective and as part of the NDP and ministers in Bangladesh. So we will be bringing now our MACD and our strategic document to go through what are the MTSF objectives that has been identified for the department and for the legislative and government government, and how we use the six resources to make sure that what is contained here in the MTSF is achieved. And in the event these entities are not able to support the department to make sure that it achieves this objective, which will set out to the NDP, what do we do and what will be some kind of a self-managed or intervention that the minister will introduce. So in breaking down the MTSF, we looked at the four critical areas for the department. The first one, and all of these things are in the minister's performance actions with the president. The first one is that the department should ensure that there's an increase to the electricity generation reserve margin from 1% to 19% in 2019. The global average standard for reserve margin is 15%. And ours is way below that, and hence the notion that we can experience. So if you assess that, it begins to say, in the portfolio, which entity is responsible to deliver on this NTS objective? So the ESCOM is responsible. And then we will be undertaking then what we think are issues that ESCOM will need to make sure that we increase the reserve margin to 90% by 2019. Then the second objective that we identify the MTSF and relevance to the portfolio is increasing the tonnage moved on a from 207 to 330 million tons in 2019. Again, we ask ourselves which entity in the portfolio is responsible for this transfer and will affect what transfer is in the strategy. The third objective was improving operational performance of the inlet ports and the inlet terminals. Again, we've identified the department as an entity to deliver on that. The last objective relevant to the department is the investment rate of 25% of GDP. And again, here that you have all the resources relevant to say in that sense. So we are taking this from our APC and our strategic document, the role that DNL, SASCO, and ALCO, and South African experts will take in ensuring that the reserve investment rate holds in terms of 25%. This slide here talks to the breakdown of the SOCs and then how each of them mirror what we said are those four critical areas in the MTSF. Firstly, as a sole shareholder of the SOCs, we highlighted SAA and DI in May because now they are out of the portfolio, but I think the SAA is the portfolio committee, and even later on the annual report, we'll still be reporting on some of the activities which we need to close on in respect of this entity. But the takeaway from this slide, Chase, so if you look at the size of the portfolio, and on this slide, I would like the portfolio committee to keep it in mind as and when we are going to be discussing the budget of the department as well. Because you see a huge mismatch between the portfolio, the size of the portfolio, over 770 billion, if you look at Eskom and Transnet, contributing 96% of the revenue. So it goes without saying that if there's a collapse in Eskom and Transnet, there's not only a collapse of TCE, but a collapse in a system collapse in the economy. And there the problem itself, the sector, that is all the agencies and the portfolio contribute to. As much as we put energy there, and you are right, it's 2%. The question I've asked you is, how can you say 2% when the consumer supply is 5% of electricity? We put energy here because electricity is just one part of the Ebola energy mix. Around the issue of gas, petroleum, including diesel, UTF and all of those, there's no general for Eskom. I think one of the issues that needs to be solved out that Minister Chase is the role of Eskom going forward is to be identified in the goal that they need to in terms of electricity only. Then this slide, here again talks to how we have attacked the narrative of our strategic event. You cannot talk successfully and performing a state-owned company if you don't look at what their current performance financially and operationally. And we are not proud really to say, but this is the true situation that is facing our portfolio. And then our strategy should move away from this being rolled up in terms of what we've identified. This slide talks to the weighted average cost of capital vis-a-vis the return on equity. Now, if we were in the private sector, we would see ourselves as an asset manager, and here we know that says, what is our return on this portfolio? Three of our associates, ISCO, DNL, and Sarkol, they don't have a web that is just about 10%. And if you look at the Eskom and Transnet, they just around 5%, just close to 6%. So what this can happen is say that the return that is currently generated by the old company does not cover the cost of their capital investment. So we request the old companies to go and invest, but they are not able to cover the cost of that investment. And therefore this means that they need to go out to the market to borrow. They are currently the low returns that they don't come from because they are not generating good returns means that there are systemic issues and there are needs that have led to that. And one of that we believe that is lower needs. Because if you are not able to recover your cost, for example, if Eskom is not able to recover the cost of producing electricity, it goes without saying, therefore, that it will have to generate lower return. I mean, the system works. If SOCs are not able to generate revenue, SAX is making huge losses. And we can think that happens over time as a result of many sectors, including the issue that we've spoken about under investment and also being under digitalized. It goes therefore without saying that this feature will not change for a period of time. Currently, expansion by state-owned companies means that they are heavily relying on debt. So, some people believe that because state-owned companies have guarantees, it's easy for them to go in. So, but because their operations are not able to generate sufficient cash, they borrow at a high cost. So, debt funding becomes a challenge because the reason they must borrow at high prices. then lead to reduced flexibility in servicing the capital? Because if you are not able to take your debt, it means then there's a heavy line on the shareholder to provide the guarantee. And you see some of them are now being taken. So we ask ourselves when we develop the strategy, then how do we change this picture? And we believe that you need to, the only way that you change this picture is also that you change the money within which the deal comes to support. And I think the area again, and then questions by the members around the power of the minister becomes critical. Because if the minister is not able to influence the operational challenges facing the legal companies, it means that the minister is not able to change their financial outlook. And they will not be able to grow, and some will not be able to diversify. Generally, it's migrating into the right direction, but we still believe that that wealth position can be enhanced. Other core challenge because of not only being geographically limited in terms of operations, but also being resource limited because it's only mines as we know done. So, as a department, we looked at it, we said change this, it means not only the department to change, but the SOC must change. We must diversify Alisco's product. Alisco cannot only be mining diamond. Is there a role for Alisco to play in coal or in other spaces? Dinero, how do we ensure that the technological advancements that are being made by Dinero, we take them in order and outside the country? So in the strategy, we say those are things that we're looking at in terms of not only taking the financial output of the company, but also changing some of the part of their mandate. In so far as challenges are concerned, we decided to share with the committee how we want to deal with ESCOM and Transnet in the main terms of challenges. Not only them, but other SOC, but we didn't have the data. If you sort ESCOM and Transnet out, if you sorted out 90% of the DPD problem, and then you sorted out basically about 80% of the problem of the South African problem. The biggest challenge facing ESCOM is insufficient power and the capacity to meet the demand. With regards to Transnet, the inability to meet the demand of the market, resulting in a reduced accessibility to certain industries. And I think we've seen in the media as well how some of the companies have been threatening to exit because of the inability of Transnet to meet their requirements. This challenge is changed. I mean, what the entity they believe that they are infrastructure related. And so they need to be addressed as a central agency. In ESCOM, we believe that the maintenance also must change so that ESCOM can concentrate on maintaining the current power plant. But also, we believe that the users must be accelerated. It took us 4 years to build 1 unit of BDP, and we still have 6 more to go. And we were saying in the department that if that is the benchmark, then you have nothing like the right facility is going to take us for 24 years to complete the power station. So we believe that we need to do something about it in order to change that. And given the current situation of these entities, ESCOM requires attention, and I think the whole war movement discussion that ministers briefed the members of earlier indicates that government is looking at ESCOM from a policy point of view to address its challenges. But of course, at the end of the day, shareholder department, we need to put proper plans on the table and interventions that could be measured and monitored. Transnet is required attention to address different including those that would potentially affect its sustainability. And advances in the main are around the policy space. And this is something that we as a department we are watching. Because two policy decisions, how to be able to transmit, who takes to transmit future overnight. So what are the specifics therefore in terms of this Chinese change? If ECOM is not able to provide electricity to make sure that the demand and the supply issues are addressed, it goes without saying that there will be a country-wide blackout. And we not say this is the case, sometimes that we say we don't have to deal with all these other challenges. The risk of this, the potential of this, and for the people of this risk, which is really high. The second risk we have identified is continued negotiating. As much as it is that the low case will be asked for a period of 3 years, we don't think we should see and hold over for a period of 3 years. We think if there's things that we can do for you to make sure that we shorten that period, because this continues to be an impact, a negative impact on the economy. The third risk has actually materialized. The federal credit downgrade, we are all aware now that the score has been downgraded to a job system. And that is consequently creating another risk. The trigger of the collapse of government guarantees. Already the conversation that leads to a sovereign downgrade. So, this, the four challenges around ESCOM, can you appreciate the fact that the third one is already materialized? The second one is the same as we speak. So, the country-wide blackout and the call upon government guarantees can also happen if all these measures that we want to introduce are not effective and don't introduce them as a separate change. With the classic transport, continues living life on road transportation. And we think, again, this is something that we've been talking about with the Department of Transport. But now we need to implement changes there on the ATC. But also to take up on ourselves as a shareholder department, because there's a whole lot of dependency for some of this. Issues to be addressed. So we take the risk on other government departments to address the whole issue to raise migration. And the constraint overall on volume, I think the mining sector has not recovered from the recession, and that is having a huge impact on transport. So we say this risk continues for transport, but we need to guard against that it increases to a point whereby and transit operational sustainability is adversely impacted. So the effect of all of this risk is that definitely the economy could suffer failure. Already the economy is suffering, but it could suffer failure. And this could lead to significant loss of GDP, the civil unrest, and potentially an overall shutdown. If the issues of ESCOM, the low shading are not addressed. There are some things that we've done on the low shading that stage one, if you stage one and stage three, it costs the economy anywhere between 20 billion to 80 billion per month. And I think in the last meeting that the deputy president had with business, this issue was also raised sharply. And the other impact is on small businesses, with the consequence of job losses, because most of other businesses are operating only just 3 days a week, because they think they cannot be able to sustain their operations. The inability to raise the remainder of the funding required to complete the loan program and the breaching of covenants is the impact. ESCOM is further not doing this, and the call of government guarantees. We are having an ISP next week with the Minister of Finance and the Minister of Energy and the other ministers just to do about the impact of the whole downgrade. And say, what are the steps you know that government can introduce quickly to engage the various investors and the lending institutions just to make sure that ESCOM will be able to go out to the market to them. I think the last one is the GDP quote. It is clear now that the target of the 36% will not be met in the government and conservatives, and a lot of economists are predicting this. If the risks that we've highlighted here are not addressed, we could see further erosion of the economy. So, Chair, this is economic background, and our because it's going to be very difficult on these issues as well, but it doesn't take all of these issues into account. So, we decided to go to town around those issues and how they impact on our portfolio, so that we can appreciate that in developing the strategy, we had to look at what we call business as usual, but also to say your contribution to the NDP. We will not be able to achieve the MTSS if we don't deal with all the issues. So we have identified the a number of areas that we can improve in order to deal with the SOC challenges. And as we indicated earlier on, SOC challenges, we can make them into core challenges and institutional challenges. But it's very difficult to only limit those challenges to single companies without attributing some of them to the city and the state as a whole. So I take away from this slide, Chair, is that we have a role to play within both challenges, the things that are faced by the building companies and departments. And the core challenges are those that exist predominantly at the level of education. So ESCOM is not able to execute the mandate of the children and children of supply. And those challenges therefore affect the ability of the state to deliver on the requirements of creating a sustainable economy. Then institutional ones are those challenges that exist within the energy environment that support the state in implementing the national policy. And I think some of them were highlighted earlier on by the members of the minister. Legislative, regulatory, and financial. And these challenges are really evident within our government departments as well, in terms of the role they play in policy formation. And so, not as we believe that the limitation of that policy implementation. We had a 1991 paper, which today we are not able to implement because the institutional challenges have not been addressed. So our only belief in terms of our strategy, again, is to not deal with the symptoms, but deal with the disease itself. Because we try to keep the SOC, but we're not keeping the environment within which the SOC is operating. So just like you see, Chair, give you now the details of those challenges and it is very present now. So I think we will keep and then go further them into the strategy. Our new strategy change aims at focusing on improving the performance of the portfolio to ensure that our company can effectively change each and every day. The strategy recognizes the role that the individual companies need to play in the economic economic context to support the aspiration for the developmental state. It also builds on the progress that has been made in the department to promote good governance and to turn around the portfolio of the company. And it builds on the capacity of the shareholder group, internal reorganization, and even our business focus. So we believe that once strong performance has been established, the department can promote ways and means to ensure that we keep the country moving forward. But also, Chair, I think it's important that we should not encourage what we are doing as the department in terms of this strategy. From one aim for all the companies, talk about the mandate of the department is to develop this overarching legislation. So, here's the game of our strategy. We want to contact with this committee in this at the early stage, and the people come up sometimes are too saying, but we want to contact with the committee to say, currently we're going to get this portfolio. We are fighting fires and not being able to do what we need to do and focus on where we should focus at this time. So we're fighting fire and at the same time we want to build a new rapport for ourselves as a department and our application company. For the past few months we've come under daily criticism of the shareholder who was running a sale and he says this is your company. And other people are saying, is it the shareholder who was running a sale with SOC or the SOC that are paying the shareholder management body? So he said he's saying, for the next 12 months, we want to build credibility for ourselves and build credibility for our sector companies. And also we want to win the public confidence with the portfolio that we have. And how are we going to do that? We want to give key projects to stabilize the new companies that they come. And that's what we want to complex with the community on and go through those 8 projects soon. So that's what we want to do for the next 12 months. And then for 12 to 36 months, we believe that now we begin to strengthen the major companies. We strengthen the shareholder function, ourselves, and then we'll strengthen the major companies. And in doing this, we believe that then we begin to build a factory. We will reposition ourselves and our SOCs into a growth path through the development of those projects that we go through quickly and making sure that they are positive and they impact into the economy. When we were building this block, I had an opportunity of engaging the DDGs individually to get their own portfolio. What do we mean when we talk about this new production? And we've indicated some of the areas that if you look around this point, we define building products as a showing that we've got between 50 and a regular time of spring. On time and it is within minimal, within budget, if we want to aim to keep the budget within minimal cost overall. So if we are content with you today, say, contact us on those areas, how are we going to ensure that ESCOM delivers on them? And why I think that we are going to be doing it in fact, because we are not doing it. We are not responsible for the program, and why that would be the thing that we need to do. Then our company is saying, contact us on the market demand strategy, because we say, building infrastructure for us would mean ensuring that the MTS and the delivery of the locomotive program is successful in terms of developing local skills and ensuring that we build on the competitiveness of public procurement. Our leaders will take contact with us on now that we know that we've got a 30 million order book, but we say now we need to start and take the order book to make sure that it's strengthened, that the leaders secure more orders, but also it is able to also grow locally as well. And strengthen the critical defense relationship capabilities. Our definition of building infrastructure would be if we are able to reverse the legacy of what about to deliver the town, the township. The process has been concluded and we just really want the launching of the schedule. So we took a single company, explained the role of civil and being an extended arm of government to provide services that should be provided by the civil government. So we say the definition of success for us is being able to invest the legacy of both towns and make sure that the Alexander Bay Township is developing a proper and fully fledged township. Around the South African expert building for success definition means to have a regional airline that operates successfully without government support, but is able to penetrate the region and hold strategic partnerships within public NGOs. And lastly, our staff is called up to the identification. If we can be able to ensure that SACOM is not reliant on its deeper business only and also being supporting to demand, but and changing from the geographic location, but make sure that we leverage its foreign management capabilities and skills. Then we say, for us, that is the achievement of the state. So we contact the committee on this and those areas that we have identified 10 things in country. And our other government plan begins to unpack now exactly the role of each unit to that and overall how the department is going to use report on those areas of support to the region. Finally, saying, if we have done that, we have stabilized the SOCs and the department, we have strengthened the SOCs in terms of their operational performance, financial performance. We are present in partners in terms of the own shoulder over time. We will be able to be at the point where we say we are solid, both as entities and departments. And the definition of being solid is we are enhancing our value. And therefore, we recognize that our original view of the shareholder department is one of excellence and making sure that excellence is present for the state of the company. They deliver their projects and they ensure that the overarching targets are met and they will make sure that the minister, the contract government, is able to indicate supporting the energy. So this journey chair incorporates a number of things, as I said, there are also dependent this year. It incorporates an internal turnaround of the department because we cannot do things the same way that we've been doing. We acknowledge that we cannot take the whole system and change while we are doing the way we are. So there will be a turnaround of the department as well as the state-owned company. And but also we need to ensure that there's capacity first in the department to monitor the state-owned company. And you'll see as we unpack the 8%, how we bring in the private sector and the institutions of higher learning to help us with this. And then we say that it's the capacity in the state of the country as well. So, Chair, again, this slide, I will not go into the details because that's now addressing what I said earlier on around the core outcomes. We say, if you look at the outcomes, firstly, we want financial sustainability. We want the focus that are socially viable, and we want to use the capital projects that we do. These are our core outcomes that again we want to contact with the community. And then the second one, the enabling outcomes, we say, first and foremost, you cannot have those three core outcomes achieved if you don't have a strong shareholder. So, you have GPE, discussing the oversight, allowing us to play a more integral role and to have a greater stake in the decision going forward. The question was asked by the Minister that you cannot tie to the legislation as a community sector. So we say we strengthen that oversight. then give me internally to make sure that we are over any flexible organization that exists the benchmark for other people that come. Because it is what we do in office, we don't have any other mandate. So we believe that or partners that are doing dual mandates, that are doing conversation, insofar as sharing is concerned, we should be able to be an organization that we can use for benchmarking. And then alignment and efficiency across the institutional model. We need to say all the data should be aligned and should be driven by a single goal. And we can do that if we collaborate and we make sure that there are stages in terms of delivering public policy. So if you take the aging outcome, you say core outcomes are those things that need to be done at the company and we need to collaborate on that one. But then those core outcomes, they need and maybe outcomes. So you cannot have a situation of one supercity the other one operate together jointly. And then we can see the intervention being able to help us achieve the agenda. So here are our priorities to change. Aligned with the slide that we spoke about the journey to take us to a point where we believe that we'll be able to assist us to achieve the NDC goal. So we've identified eight and we call them bullet goals, a level of a better thing to identify. We don't want to say the IHPD because it seems sometimes in something that we do just in the short space of time, but more complicated. Five years and more. Then the financial sustainability, we say we need to take the lead and ensure that SOCs are on the path of financial sustainability. But then we require us engaging at a different level. And the first claim is one aspect, but we also identify the engagement with different institutions. So that you don't move away from traditional lending and borrowing by state company. The second project is we say for the privacy led project. And I think we stayed in detail what we mean by that. The third one is on the privacy to include voting support rate and report, that's what it is. The fourth one on the privacy to accelerate the lending program. Across the common trust. And lastly, we brief the committee on the common trust management program. So we say that all of these things now are aligned. The build program is project number 4, and that's a new project. When you look at building for success again, so each block defines how we put this path for ourselves. We assume that you are going to get over the state of rebuilding our life. And the state of doing the success, we say the committee must then contact us for this and they must hope that you must hold us accountable on all of this because we say we'll be able to do this. Because as I ever say it's a state of energy grid with no threat to change. So you must be able to see this in our annual government plan. Next year when we come back or on our quarterly report to the committee, you should be able to measure our progress, how far we're doing with all this. And next year in our annual report, you should be able to compare. So we want the committee to take the strategy, annual performance day, and use it as a monitoring tool for the GE. And align it with the key outcomes that are in the initial context of the civil company. So when you see the GE annual report, when we see the trusted annual report, you should be able to look at them and say, if it is that we're going to be sharing that there's a volume increase so far as post and various consent trusted, and you should be able to look at how many things trusted to be able to move over the time, and what is the department, is it their aiming them, or what is the department do, and what is the department is able to do. So that we contact in the sector. So our strategy, annual performance plan, annual report, and the single company annual report. Then the next role of the companies and what are the needs of other companies. So again, we say, these are the 8 points that are in this message. And we say, we should not be reporting to the committee on anything outside of school. Anything that we talk about should just be enhancing any of these 8 areas. But this should be the core that the committee will hold us accountable on and responsible for in respect of the Asian country. Then the last aspect of our strategy change of food and food from this department. This is the slide that I indicated earlier on that it will dovetail the investment portfolio of the different companies. Again, if you get a common investment cumulatively over 700 billion. But if you get the budget of the department, just under 300 million. And then the huge business. If you look at the energy, unit that is responsible for the oversight of ESCOM, allocated 17 million. And the ESCOM budget itself, or the size of the energy, is just over 300 million. So something is wrong in terms of the structure of this project. Again, if you look at the transport, around 2030, but if you look at the size of transport, again, over a billion. So, this budget allocation, the bulk of it is under on administration and corporate services, about 158 million, and this includes also the minister, the deputy minister, the DG and support services. But the long story change is that if we all agree that the shareholder function is important and if we believe that we need to play a meaningful role in terms of oversight of key infrastructure rather than implement a budget as consumption, surely the government should be facilitated more and better to perform that function. And this is the issue that we will bring to the committee as we do the legislation on the shareholder management and the taking company. Well, if we have a unit that is responsible for the combat currently operating with less than 10 options. And that creates a constraint for the shareholder oversight. And the need for manpower in terms of the IPS, the DG, and the work that is piling on them, the ratio is 1 to 5 in this parliament. One employee is in a job that could be done by 5 people. And the head of the human resources brought to my attention as well that this creates an issue of well-being challenges. And so I think the structure of how this department budget is allocated and structured is very important. And I think it's something that we would like that we engage better with the committee on the debate that we need to take into account. So here, currently, GPE has been it is a decision for me, department, our history speaks for itself in terms of our ODE, stakeholder engagement, and to some extent, our
of time said, as one block in this venue, there goes to be a multi-part reunion meeting, and it's 25 past 12 now, and we are still going to be under revelation. I am not sure how I'm going to go about. I'm just highlighting this case so that we all know that we have a challenge of the venue and at the same time.
Charles said that they've been able to
is the problem in the material relations to manage 4%. That's what that says. But I see a contradiction because you say that we are performing very low, the transfer is performing very low in the black women owned companies and the youth. Which show me there is a serious concern. 94% that has been able to be actually scored by the SOBE and then the low input that has been made in terms of the involvement of the women in the youth. You know, this is a serious question. I'm not actually talking to the intention, because the intention is to make sure that universities in the community, that the two sets of that life pointed to are clearly being covered. I said, in terms of outcome number 7, in terms of the environment, I think two companies, clear achievements in terms of sustainable rural development, have been clearly attributed, which is South Korea, I think, and Lisbon. And we know that I'm just trying for interest, I'm trying to understand most. The impression that we got is that the transfer is doing a lot. Transfer that can actually so that it is properly. This is how transfers are able to really touch on it. So the last one, okay. What is our plan? Because you are saying that our state-owned companies are heavily relying on that, and then you made a point that the model and the role of the state-owned companies maybe needs to change so that we can be able to take incentives like that. If that issue can be clearly answered, so that we actually have a sense of what is actually trying to say with regard to this. If you say that the model and the role needs to be changed, are you intending to move for privatization or what's the model and all of those things? That's what we need to be able to change. The point that we're discussing is the last one that you said, the constraint on shareholder oversight. Can I just put you on the spot? What is it that you are really suggesting to the committee? Because you say that you are operating on a big budget of 777 billion with capacity of the budget of 249 million. And after that, it puts a constraint on you to can actually oversight a program. What is it that you are trying to tell us? And if we have to suggest, we also have to really suggest, because I think it's important that you are trying to make it. Thank you very much, Chair.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Briefly, Chairperson, the presentation by the ABC is actually assisting us to understand fully that scenario relates to the customer. I'm sure it's an honest fact and a reality. That is our challenge that simply yes in this report. In as much as ERCOM and Transnet are the most key countries where there are various challenges. Because this service is actually not accessing the national development plan, it still continues to go like this. What is it that the department will do over and above this strategy? These strategies, I don't think they are actually aligned to the challenges that I give. It's challenges that seem to be created within everything. They are serious as they are. But the strategies are no longer in terms of resolving them. We're talking beyond. Talking billions in the number of aspects here. ESCOM and Transnet issues are
when there was in 1970. So I appreciate that time of everyone because it gives us a sense that the portfolio committee, you hold the responsibility to actually assist us. But we cannot guide that process. We need to be guided by the department in order that we can look further to ensure that we will really achieve the objective.
If the department can also share that if they are going to put this for non-performance by if those consequences that then can you just share that those consequences. Secondly, I was looking at some of your targets here, in particular your quality targets. Because one issue that has been raised in is the issue of targets which are not leadership. Like 100 comes to the commitment of partnership to the relevant institutions. To me, it would seem to be a challenge. A target is not the direct. At the end of the course, how do you feel you have established partnerships? Because you can't understand. This is the partner from also classify and classify them. Thirdly, I'm also having a thought about the issue regarding the host institution you told us the SAA program in France, where the host institution in the life of this entity is now going to Trinidad. And lastly, is the issue of late signing of OPEC by 6 months. What is the kind of situation? Some complex by 6 months by the soul. What is that kind of issue? The last one said the society talks to major imbalance in the budget and the output. The two special point back end vis-a-vis the president 2.2 EU. I'm interested in the impact this balance will have in the performance of the department going forward. If you can just share with us. Thank you.
Are there any questions? If not,
thank you. Thank you, Chair. Going to some of the responses to my colleagues. The question on the how far is the progress on the GSMP, I think Ocelan or Martin can talk to that. The social contribution in the budget can now talk to that. And the travel BDE, Transnet open and low contribution to empowerment, I think CDG, Transnet also will talk to that. And I think maybe she can also allude to some of the discussions that we had last week on the build. I will come to the contribution by Alco and Falco. I'll deal with the
division and intersection, please. We were looking at our time and I had a proposal that we not interface the strategic plan now and we will request you the third meeting when we come back after this. Because there are a whole number of issues which we need to understand before we can support the strategic plan. We just mentioned that you requested Treasury to give you a way to go outside the framework of Treasury regulations. That also we need to understand and what was the response of the Treasury. And the fact that most of the programs are held together. They are not, we will not be able to monitor or oversight you because they are long term and they are not broken down as such. So there are a lot of issues which we need to interact with you regarding the strategy. And if you won't mind, I don't think it will be far. Yeah, that we come back together and then we shall have time to get going through it thoroughly. to one another for that process. I don't know if I would never so like to move the decision. Yeah, it is one of the people that already arrived now, so we need to really leave the house. Thank you very much.